I did something this week that very few people in the history of people have ever done. Did something this week that less than 0.5% of the people in this country will ever do. I did something this week that almost no one ever lives through. You may want to guess what it is? I sat in Tennessee's electric chair this week. The real deal. You're dead. The one, out of Green Mile, the little head, the little thing, the little straps. I just made sure there's nobody that I knew next to the handle. If there is a handle, by the way. Whoa. I spent a day at one of our state penitentiaries. And it was my first experience to anything near this large with this much population. I spent a good deal of that time on death row. I've never been to death row. I think I knew what to expect of death row. Like if you're on, there's 96 people in this prison on death row. And I'm thinking if you're on death row, you're pretty much depressed all the time. That makes sense? You're on death row. You're going to die, And then I went to the maximum security side of the prison and then went over to the other, the minimum security side of the prison and how it dealt. And went through the whole thing and went from building to building and talked to guards. And here's what was amazing about this trip. Is how normal it seemed. In a prison, I've been to Alcatraz. Anybody ever been to Alcatraz? But that's surreal, man. Just thinking about what that must have been like. This is different, so different. And it's like a campus, and it has barbed wire to be sure. It has locked doors, and when those doors slam shut, they don't just shut. They go, boom, there's a big boom. But there were prisoners. In death row, there were prisoners walking around. Some of the guys were working on computers. And doing normal things. I just thought, you could get used to this. If you got to go to prison, I got to go in death row. I got to go into a cell. And the guy was out of the cell. And I'm amazed at how much stuff you can put in one of those things. Books and Bibles and food and TV and law books and a shower. Now, I'm not saying it's a country club. I don't want to go to prison. How about you? But my point is, I got thinking, you could get used to this. Have you ever noticed that you can kind of get used to whatever environment you find yourself in? You kind of adapt to the environment. And you can be in prison and not really realize how awful it is to be in prison and not be free. And I wonder how many of us live in a type of prison. But we've gotten used to it. It's a little world. It's a small world made up of our fears and our doubts and our worries and our half-hearted religion. It's a little world where we're told what to do and what to believe and when to do it and how much of it is enough. It's a little world where we're told when to get up and go to bed and when to go home and when to leave and what to drive and what we can't. It's a little bitty world, and it's not really great, but we're used to it. A world dominated by addictions and anxieties and prejudices. It's not a great world. It's not a great life, but it's something I can live with. Yeah. It's kind of like death row, but you know what? At least I eat. If you're in prison, you have all your dental, all your medical, all your clothes. Huh? But it's prison, people. It's still prison. You were not made to live in a prison. The God who made birds did not make bird cages. God has no shares in barbed wire. We're the one who fenced things off and to try to hold them and to bring them down. And if you're here this morning and you didn't wake up filled with joy, almost to the point of being silly, you're living in a prison. If you woke up today and says, oh God, it's Sunday, there's no football. Basketball, woo, you know, who cares about that? Now that Kentucky's not playing. And Tennessee's out, who gives a rip about the rest of it? We might as well go to church. What could it hurt? It's safe. But I want to be dangerous today. I want to introduce you to the outrageous joy that comes from this extreme freedom that Jesus Christ offered and offers. That's why he's a renegade and why he started a revolution. And everyone who follows him is to some degree outside of the mainstream. Because in the mainstream, you're supposed to be nice and sweet and normal. Men, Christian men, are supposed to be at home, sweet, obedient, kind to cats, boring, and beige. Wouldn't it be cool if, you know, I don't want to be Pee Wee Herman, and I don't want to be the Terminator, but I want to be a man. How about you? I want to be a man. I want to be a man's man. When the four women in my life see me, they want to say, there's a man. That's a guy. I don't want them to have to worry, and I want them to be the beneficiaries of this dynamic relationship with Jesus that gives me this extreme joy and the freedom that I live. So I can live free, have fun, and change the world. That's my mantra. Live free, have fun, change the world. I'm going to have it tattooed right there, R4G right there. You dare me? Anybody? How many? Huh? No? It's all the conservative people over here. It's all the Baptists among us, I guess. When you read a verse like this, for example, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Does that do anything for you? It doesn't sound very religious. If the Son sets you free, freedom's a dangerous thing, isn't it? See, if you're free and I'm free, we may do things that we don't agree with and that we can't predict. But isn't freedom? You remember when you got up one day just so happy to be alive you couldn't stand it? Remember like Christmas morning? How about the first day of vacation? Of course, every day can't be like that. The Son sets you free. You will be free indeed. How about this? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. He's quoting Isaiah. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the what? Prisoners. And we say, I'm not in prison. Are you sure? Do you ever get up and say, you know what? I want to go to work in the morning and I got a job because I got to pay the bills. You might be in prison. If you ever said, I really don't like where I live and I don't like the people I live around, but they're better than nothing, you might be in prison. If you think more about the past and the regrets of the things you didn't do, you might be in prison. If you think less about the future and you constantly worry about if you're going to have enough, if you're constantly having thoughts about what happens one day when I wake up obsolete, you might be in prison. Jesus has come to preach good news. How about this? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Isn't that interesting? Why does Christ set us free? To be free. To be free. To get up every day full of joy, freed up, excited, doing what we want to do with the people we want to do with. That's freedom. If you live where you want to live, do what you want to do, and you do it with the people you love doing it with, that's freedom, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you. No. That's for a second chance. You don't get a second chance. So the question is, if the central core idea is that Jesus Christ has come to be our freedom, why aren't we more free than we are? If you were to ask normal people to describe Christians in America, you wouldn't hear, well, they're just the most freed up, happy, joy-filled people I've ever met. They just want to get along. They're just constantly helpful and you know, they're just the kind of people you want to look for. You wish they had a big C tattooed to their forehead so you could just hang around them in a crowd. No, the descriptions are, we're stuck up, we're hung up, we're arrogant, we sit in judgment of other people, we're the only ones going to heaven, and the rest of the world be, you know, you fill in that word. So why are we, as a bunch of, as a group in this country, seen as this religious, frustrated people? There are three jailers that you have to deal with every single day. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have to deal with the jailer of the ordained. People like me. People who've been called out to speak for God. I would never forget when God first spoke to me. It wasn't not in an audible voice, but it was in a voice that was so real. And all of a sudden, I started doing something I had never done, talking to God. It was a great experience. I talk to God every day. And I know that he hears me, though he doesn't respond. Sometimes in ways I wish he would. I wish he would say, all right, God, what do you want me to do? Then he'd say, all right, I want you to go in here, turn left, turn right, go down 3 miles, 4.5, go this way. And then at 5:30, come back, Cheesecake Factory, have dinner, come home, for American Idol, and then go to bed. And then, you know, I'll have something for you in the morning. You would love that, wouldn't you? But you know what that's called? That's called bondage. You see, when my children were little, there are a lot of things they couldn't do. When my children, I know you're going to think I'm cruel, but when my children were four, they did not drive the car. I know, that's child abuse. But nonetheless, I just felt it prudent that they needed boundaries. But now that they're in their 20s, they drive a car wherever they want to go. They get in it. I mean, you know how children are? Rebellious. Don't even ask me. Wanted their own car. Wanted me to pay for the gas. Can I hear an amen? Just take their car, my gas, and go wherever they want to go. I think we'd have them incarcerated. You see, there's a difference. The ordained, sometimes instead of speaking to God, we speak for God. And then when it really gets sick, we start speaking as a God. Listen to what Jesus said about those who tried to overtake people and bring them into bondage. He said, you're blind guides. You strain at a gnat, but swallow a camel. I know people who are more upset, more angered over the fact that someone wears pants to church than they are of child abuse or some other injustice. We can get so hung up on our do's and don'ts. He says, you swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Now, let me be quick to say, because this podcast goes a lot of places, I am thankful to be a speaker for God. I knew this is what I was going to do when I was 18 years old. Recently, I had a chance to reassess my life and say, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And I'm telling you, the freedom of that, to say I can go anywhere and do anything with anyone. This is your chance, big boy. Go do it. I'm here today to tell you with great conviction that I would rather be here with you in this moment doing what I'm doing than being anywhere with anyone at any time. And that's freedom. Amen. So you got to be careful to who you listen to. The voices that you listen to. If they don't square up with the scriptures and particularly the teachings of Jesus, be wary. There's also the jailers of not just the ordained, but the orthodox. Those who are just really serious about being orthodox, being straight. Orthodoxy, the word orthodox comes from the Latin word straight doctrine. They just want to, you know, they want everything to be neat. They want neat life. They want neat religion. Where we all, you know, build our lives on what we don't do. How many of you know you can't build a life on what you don't do? People in prison don't do a lot of things. They're not allowed to. They're in prison. But you're not. There are things that you don't do. The question is, why don't you do them. For example, if I were to ask you to not, are you going to, will you work with me? I want you to not think about a pink elephant smoking a cigar walking down the sidewalk. Don't think about it. Are you with me? You going to help me out? Are you not thinking about it? You're not thinking about a pink elephant smoking a cigar walking down the sidewalk, are you? You're not thinking about it. Isn't it fun to not think about a pink elephant smoking a cigar walking down the sidewalk? And see, if you not think about enough stuff, if you don't think about not drinking alcohol to excess, or you're addicted, your life is miserable, and you're throwing your life and everyone's life you love down a toilet, you won't drink anymore. Isn't that great? if you say, I'm never going to smoke another cigarette again, and you say that every day, all the time, you will smoke till you die. If you say, I will not eat coconut cream pie, you do this all day, promise me, you will eat three by the time the day's over. Why? Because your mind is attracted to what it dwells on. That's why the scripture has such a big deal when it tells us that early in the morning, we're to let the Word of God, the Spirit of God, dwell in our hearts so that our minds get programmed. But over time, what we do is we hand over our thinking power to other people like me to tell us, what can I do and what can't I do to get into heaven? What can I do? What's the minimum I have to do to be right with God? Just tell me what the minimum is, and I'm going to trust you on that. There are people, for example, in Jesus' day who were literalists. They were fundamentalists. And Jesus one day went out with his disciples, and they were collecting grain to eat on the Sabbath, which is our Sunday. And they came to him and they said, why in the world do you let your disciples, you know, gather and eat on the Sabbath? That's breaking the law. That's not orthodox. That's another reason why Jesus was a renegade and constantly stood out from the crowd. And he said something to them that only the Son of God would have had any courage to say when he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of what? The Sabbath. So isn't it great? See, I was raised as, on Sunday, we go to church. Why? Good people go to church. That's a lie from the pit, isn't it? So we go to church. Why? Because Christians go to church. Okay, good. Why? So that we can get into heaven. Now that makes sense. I mean, let's be honest. 1 hour, one day a week, for the rest of your life, everybody else you know goes to hell, you go to heaven. That's a good deal. Isn't it? And so, you know, so what we do is we see the things that God has given us as gifts, as burdens. Why did God give us, why did God say there's one day a week that you need to unplug? Did he do it for himself? No, he did it for you. You were not made to live as a life where the dial on your speed goes to the right constantly. We're constantly going, going, going. Your mind and everything is totally engaged in your work. You kill yourself. You'll wear out. So you were made to live in rhythm. 6 and 1, 6 and 1, 6 and 1. God says, 6 days, have at it. Take your BlackBerry, your Blueberry, take your cell phone, take your internet. Just go for it. Lay your ears back and just have at it. But one day is a day where you withdraw, disengage. And it's a day where you meet with me, I meet with you, we have some fun, I recharge your spirit, and you recharge your physical and emotional batteries. God says it's yours. It's for your freedom. Now, see, here's a great thing. I am free. Here's another. This is good. I am free because I'm in this relationship with Jesus, and you're in this relationship with Jesus. I'm free to break that. I'm free to break the law of the Sabbath. I'm free to do it. I can just keep, just like some of you sinners in this room, we're going to take an offering in just a minute, so because you'll be motivated after I get through with this. Some of you right now have your phone on. You're going, really? What dastardly person would do that? Some of you right now have your phone on, but it's on vibrate. And all of a sudden did you do this? I may be physical. I may need to go to the doctor. Do you put your phone on vibrate? Do you have phantom vibrations? Anybody? Anyone? Please, thank you. I'm like, is that vibrate? I have two men's groups that I'm in, and I'm kind of an outsider in them, so I'm not like the grand poopah. If I were, I would ask this. But in both these groups, all these men bring their phones. Okay, they're an hour. And I want to ask them, I ain't got enough courage, and they don't listen to me, so I don't worry about this. Are you so important that you can't leave your dead gum phone and your dead gum car for just a dead gum hour? If you know any, well, no, don't. But some of you got your BlackBerry here, and you're going, you take your notes and you go, oh God, I got an email. There's a sale on a Costco. That's great. Oh man, weed killer. 50 gallon drum. 50%. Oh God, I got to go. I hope we hurry up. There's going to be a line over there for weed killer. So you can stay engaged. You can keep your BlackBerry on. You can keep your, you can keep engaged, but you will be the loser. God will still love you. You'll still go to heaven. Aren't you glad? But you will be the loser. You'll just go a lot sooner than the rest of us. You'll be far more ineffective on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because you have no Sabbath. You have no sacred space. Now, see, here's the freedom we have. You can obey and benefit. But you can disobey, and you will be penalized, though you are free. There are laws that God set in motion. I can be free, and I can disobey them, or I can obey them. I can do it out of love, or I can do it out of disobedience. I'm still in the family. God still loves me. He's not going to throw me away, thank God. He's just going to let me face the consequences of violating the very way he created me to live. And hopefully by suffering those consequences, I will learn to use my freedom to its greatest benefit, not to my detriment. There's a freedom of the ordained, there's a freedom of the orthodox, and there's a freedom, there's the jail or the jail of what I call the outsider, which is what we feel. There's that outsider wound, there's the orphan wound, a feeling that we're going to be abandoned, that God loves some people better than he loves us. And we look at people constantly. If you look around in this room and as you come in, as you leave, you'll see there are a lot of good looking women in this room. And there are a lot of good, well, there are some good looking men, mainly ugly men, but there are some good looking men here. I can say that I'm comfortable with my he manness, you know. And, you know, you can look at people and you say, man, you've got it all together. And even like if you're ugly, but you drive a really nice car, that compensates, right? Seriously. If you're like really ugly and you drive like a BMW and people see you get out of the BMW, they will count you as cool as long as you have a nice car. Come on now. Look at what you liar. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or now that I'm down this rabbit trail, if you are a good looking guy and you're married to you're an ugly guy married to a good looking girl, the guy gets a pass. Do y'all know this? I mean, the things you learn here that you won't learn anywhere else. Well, I look at everybody else and think, boy, they must have it made. They must be doing better. This is all working for them. And you know what? We're all just really great. We're all great posers. We're all really great at just hiding, aren't we? We just come in, put on a hey, I'm fine, just praise the Lord, life is good. We're just dying inside. Because we're in this little prison. This little prison that, you know, oh my God, I got to get up in the morning and go to work. Oh my God, I got to live with these people. I got to do this thing. I got to mow my yard. I got 1,001 different things I got to do. And I got to do everything because if I don't do everything, I won't have what I need and I won't be enough and all the rest that goes with it. I want you to be free. Wouldn't it be great if you got up every day and just said, by the grace of God today, I'm going to live free. I'm going to have fun. Are you having any fun? I mean, if you're not having any, it's not all fun. I'd admit it. But if you're not having any fun, something's broke. You're not having any fun in your marriage, any fun in your work, any fun in your relationships, something's wrong. Because it is the will of our Savior that we live the joy-filled, freed-up life. This outrageous joy of this extreme freedom. Let me explain what I mean by explaining what the scriptures teach about this freedom that we walk in. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. There are three freedoms. First, there's the freedom from. The freedom from the shame of the past and the fear of the future. The stuff that I haven't done, the regret, the shame, the broken relationships, the divorce, the thousand different things that haunt us in the night. For the power of the life, the giving spirit. And this power is mine through Christ Jesus. He has freed me from this vicious circle of sin and death. If you've been forgiven, if you've asked Christ to forgive you, this is the reality. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. If you try to live your life on obeying every law there is, you will be miserable because you can't. And when you break them and when you fail, there is grace and forgiveness for every stupid thing you've ever done in the past and every stupid thing you're going to do in the future. There's a freedom from. I'm going to stand before God and give an accounting for my life. When I stand before God, someone's going to stand before me. He's my elder brother. The Bible says he is in heaven right now adjudicating, arguing my case. When I stand before God and he says, oh, what about this and what about that and what about that? What about what you did? Jesus is going to say, I got it covered. Sir, I'm his attorney. I'm here today to tell you that he is completely innocent because another has met the debt. Another has set him free. And there is freedom from the past, the shame, the fear of the future. How many of you right now are just bound up worrying about how am I going to pay my insurance? How am I going to pay this and that? How am I going to send my kids to college? God will make a way. There's freedom, secondly, under. Freedom from, freedom under. And a lot of people say, well, if you talk so much about freedom, then you might just live any way you want to. Wouldn't that be cool? Because you know what the truth is? You're living any way you want to anyway. If you've ever said, you know what, I need to work out. And you go and you buy a YMCA, membership. And you have them say, I need to work out. And you're around a bunch of people and they're talking about, I need to work out. And they talk about, you need to get a membership at the Y. Well, I've had one. Well, how long? 3 years. Have you ever been? Once, when I signed up. You got a membership at the Y. You know you ought to go exercise. Why aren't you doing it? You know why? Because the YMCA does not sell a want to. They sell an ought to. But they do not sell a want to. You will do what you want to. You won't do what you ought to. Until your want to and your ought to get introduced to each other and kiss. Amen? And so if God doesn't change your want to, if loving Jesus doesn't change your want to, this is a bunch of bull. If Christianity is just me auditing myself into behaving in a certain way, I'll stay home. Yeah, it'll be a prison, but you know what? I'm okay there. The freedom under the loving lordship of renegade Jesus. They promised them freedom. Peter says, while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. You know, that's a great principle, isn't it? If Jesus Christ is the master of your life, the Lord of your life, then you will want to do as a slave what pleases him out of love. It's under his loving lordship. Listen to what Colossians said, what Paul, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Go on down to about the third from the last. "He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So who are we under? Who is our Lord? The one who is above all things, holds all things together. He's the Lord of glory, the Lord of life. He is the creating element. He holds life. He is the rationality and the supra-rationality of all existence. And he is the Lord. He is the one under whom I live. He is my safety. He is my covering. He's my protection. He's my provider. He's my joy. He's the one who tells me who I am, what I have, and what I can do. Yes. That's freedom under his loving lordship. "You, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." You see, if I'm free in Christ, there is a danger that I might abuse that freedom. But that is a danger God is willing to take. Why? Because he wants lovers. He wants professional lovers, not robots. And if you won't do it for love, he just simply doesn't need you to do it at all. Freedom from, freedom under, and freedom to. Freedom from the fear of the past and the shame of the past and the fear of the future. Freedom under the loving lordship of renegade Jesus. And freedom to dream and dare to do great things for God. Isn't it great? Did you know that today you can live anywhere you want to live? You can do whatever you want to do. You can achieve anything. You can dream it if you want to. And if you live in bondage, it's yours. It's one you've created or someone's handed you. I was raised in church where we talked about this a little bit at the leadership summit the other day. I was raised in the church pie. And we were taught that money is bad, that wanting to be successful is bad, that, you know, wearing shorts was, well, not in our church, you wear shorts. What could you not do in our church? We're pretty liberal. We could do pretty much, but Paula was raised in a church. We, you know, when I first met her, she couldn't go to the drive-in. I asked her, "You want to go to the drive-in?" She says, "Not with you." I said, "I have, you know, I'm an upstanding young Christian boy." She couldn't even go to the movies. I mean, she's weird. And she is pretty weird, but, you know, I've helped her. And, you know, the greatest aspiration, you know, money was bad. The greatest aspiration that anyone in authority had for me was to not go to jail and to be able to pay my bills. Don't go to jail. Because I think we had some history of that in our family. and pay your bills. That was it. That was a high watermark. I was told everything I couldn't do. I couldn't go to college. I couldn't write. I couldn't do anything. And yet I had this conflict. I don't know if you have it. It's just something inside of me that says, you're made for more than that. You're made for just more than mediocre. Do you have that in you? Is it just me? I'm probably special, but do you have it? There's this something inside that I was born to something more than just getting along. Why does the scripture say, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine"? Anybody here got a great imagination? Yeah. I got a big imagination. God says, imagine your best life and I can top it. You dare to believe that God would want for you what you would want for yourself, only more. This is weird, isn't it? This is not what I was raised on. God doesn't want anything for me. He wants me to spend my life loving him and serving him and winning people to Jesus. No, he doesn't. He wants me to spend my life in love with life. So in love with life that I keep going deep enough into life that I find life. And what did Jesus say he was? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when I love life and I press into life, I find my way to life. So are you free? You have this outrageous joy, this extreme freedom that says you are free from, you're free under, you're free to dream, to aspire, to live, to laugh, to do something, to have ambition, to start a business, to write a book, to write a psalm, to do something special, to do something extraordinary, to do something that might just indeed change the world, that you are free to step in, to heal a hurt, to lighten a load, to right a wrong, to join a dream, that you are literally free to live anywhere you want, do anything you want, and be around anyone you want. That is God's freedom. Go prosper. Unless, of course, you got a job and a mortgage and kids and this, I should have told you, but this is not for you. Because now that you have responsibility, I mean, they should have told you before you got all that stuff that that's bondage. That being married's miserable. Having kids, financially unwise. That you're just stuck. I should have said that up front, Chanel. You could have gone to the lunch earlier. Let me end it with this Franciscan blessing. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships. So that you may live deep within your own heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people. So that you may wish for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world. So that you can do what others claim cannot be done. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will inspire, motivate someone here this morning to do something truly great with their freedom. Father, that you will set us free from the bondage of the good things in our lives. That you will give us a sense of joy, an absolute release that says, I can live anywhere and do anything. I can live, I can be around people. I can aspire and I can do great things. I am not limited. I am not in bondage. I have options. I can make choices. I can fully follow Jesus Christ to that high and holy place to which he's called me. I pray for someone here today who's just come in, just hanging on. I pray they'll leave, Father, not just with roots, but with wings. I pray for someone who's just kind of just shuffled in here. They'll walk out with a new sense of joy and passion. I am free in Christ. He is my joy. He is my life. He is my freedom. I will dream. I will do. I will dare. I will be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.